White Sox Weekly. I've been waiting to talk to this young gentleman for a while. The career got sidetracked for a minute, but now he's back, and it's just super cool to see a local product out there, a lifelong White Sox fan. Charlie Tilson with us. Charlie, who did you have up on your bedroom wall? Was there a, what were you rocking as a kid as a White Sox fan?
You know, I got to be honest with you. My guy was Scott Podsednik growing up. I mean, just the way he played, it was such a perfect person for me to emulate. You know, I think I was 12 years old that year in 2005. And, I mean, just watching what he was able to do, he's so dynamic, you know, whether it was bunting or slashing and watching him on defense. I mean, he was a perfect guy for me at that time. So really idolized him.
I mean, it's really not a bad guy for you right now, right? I mean, do you sort of see yourself in that mold where I'm a left-handed hitter, I'm super fast, I can play anywhere in the outfield, and I can help the ball club in, you know, a variety of ways?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I understand speed's my biggest asset, and, you know, for me, my job is just to get on base and let these big guys get me in. So he's definitely a guy I want to emulate. I mean, he was an any-way-on type of player. Obviously, his defense was pretty incredible, too. So, yeah, I would say 100%.
See, and I liked it last night. You had that little squibber where you get on, and you're super excited about it. Some guys, they don't hit a line drive 100 miles an hour and it lands. Maybe they're a little disappointed. From my standpoint, it's like, that's exactly what you want. Hey, I am on. That's a base hit in the books. Right?
That's right. Hey, I learned early on in my career that they all count. So I'll take them any way they come, no doubt.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about this journey. You get drafted by the Cardinals. Did you grow up like really like hating the Cubs? Were you a Cubs? I've read that, but like, what level are we talking about?
You know, when I was really young, I did go to Wrigley Field, and I kind of rooted for both teams. But as I got older, my older brother became a big Ken Griffey Jr. fan, big White Sox fan. Obviously, that home run race in 1998, we were kind of on Team Griffey. So I think that's kind of when we started rooting against the Cubs. And then as the White Sox really started to develop a strong team in 2005, that's when, you know, our fandom really took off. And obviously there was those crosstown classic games, A.J. Pierzynski and Michael Barrett exchanging blows. I mean, I think, you know, at that time it was really one side or the other. So I'll be honest, I definitely was not – I was very far from a Cubs fan, and, you know, I don't like to use the word hate, but it wasn't my squad growing up, that's for sure.
Well, it's sports hate. It's not real hate. We all know that this.
Exactly.
I mean, this is, at least I hope we all know that this is the toy department. We're all having fun. It's not, you know, there's.
Absolutely.
Right. So, okay. And so, again, outsider looking in, you get drafted by the Cardinals. You know, you get $1 million-plus signing bonus. You start moving your way up through the organization. You're at AAA. You get traded to your hometown team, which is, I mean, that's just nuts. And then you're in the big leagues, and you end up getting hurt. It's like, looking at your situation, like, you maybe never had to handle something like that because things were just, you know, kept on sort of going your way. Is that accurate, or were you more prepared for the adversity than one would think?
Yeah, you know, I think this game kind of breeds adversity. Never went through anything of that magnitude. I mean, you know, not only being a Sox fan growing up and having that opportunity, it was incredible. But, you know, I had been loosely attached to the organization throughout my career, playing in the area code games. A White Sox scout, Dan Durst, kind of took care of me my junior and senior year of high school and flew out to California with me. And that's what really put me on the map. So, it was crazy because I really, you know, you play for 5 or 6 years in the minor leagues, and I didn't play against many White Sox affiliates, and you don't really hear much from them. But I guess it's just a classic lesson of you never know who's watching. And, you know, when I got that phone call, you know, it just seemed like it all made sense. And, you know, having to deal with that adversity, especially right off the bat, was pretty unbelievable. But, you know, when you have an opportunity like this, and I remember sitting here in Detroit, you know, after that it all happened and just realizing that, you know, I was still very fortunate and that, you know, the best thing I could do for myself and the best thing I could do for this team is just to try to get back on the field and do everything I can. Unfortunately, obviously, it took a long time, but, you know, here I am and and the opportunity means the world to me.
And so, you know, last year you're talking about pushing yourself so hard to get back. You had a stress reaction in your right foot, and then you ended up having a stress fracture in your right ankle. I think you've said that you maybe were pushing yourself so hard to get back that you possibly, you know, kept yourself out longer. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, that type of injury is really frustrating because there's no warning signals leading up to it. It's just, you know, right before spring training, I felt this sensation in my foot, and it was just already too late to be able to do anything about it. So, you know, I don't know if I necessarily pushed myself too far or if it was just the magnitude of the hamstring injury. And it's just one of those things, you know, it's unfortunate, but you got to deal with it. And, you know, fortunately, I kind of found a way to work through it and get back on the field and be able to be out here consistently.
Yeah, a lot of Sox fans have been rooting for you to be out there. I know you've obviously desperately wanted it. You know, I do the post-game show, Charlie, so every night in one of our segments we go through the minor leagues, and I was just been paying attention to you every game to see what's going on because I figured you'd be up at some point. And you started out the year slow, and I'm wondering, wow, is this opportunity not going to come from? And then the night before you got called up, you go 3-for-5, and the batting average is ticking up. Did you have a sense that it was coming for you?
Yeah, you know, it was starting to click. I got off to a little bit of a slow start. I think, you know, spring training, I was feeling really good. Obviously, the season's an adjustment. There's a lot more scouting that goes into it. So I had some adjustments I needed to make. You know, fortunately, Gruz and Tomby are down there. They helped me out a ton. I really felt like in the last 2-3 weeks I was starting to hit a stride. You know, my at-bats were more consistent. You know, you try to stay in the moment, especially down there, and just try to get the most out of every day. Obviously, I'm aware that, you know, I could be the next guy up, so it's something you want to stay ready for. But, yeah, it couldn't have come at a better time. I felt great that night, and just trying to carry that momentum into here.
And again, congratulations. I want to rewind back a little bit here. How fast are you, by the way? Did you run track in high school? I mean, I'm watching you. I'm like, that dude is quick.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, it's always been an attribute for me. It took a little bit for me to get it back after that injury, but I felt great. I mean, you know, I was out in the fall league, and you know, that was kind of an acclimation period for me. But being able to go back home and really pick it up and work on that speed, I felt like it's come back pretty well. I'll tell you, I wasn't fast enough to beat that Scott Pitsednik billboard in the fundamental zone when I was a kid, but I'm close.
That's one of the great things you could do going out to a guaranteed right field is go a little fundamentals, get a little sprint in, then you come down, you
That's
can
right.
eat a big hot dog, you can watch Charlie Tilson play baseball. You talked about how the White Sox, you had the scout that was looking out for you. I heard a story where, I guess in one of those camps, you hit a huge home run that, you know, a 400-some-odd-foot bomb that really put you on the radar. Is that accurate where, oh, this guy's really fast and he's super skilled? Oh, and look, there's some power, too.
Yeah, that was a huge moment for me. I mean, I remember sitting on the flight flying out to California, and, you know, being from Chicago, you hear so much about the baseball in Texas or the baseball out in California and Nevada, and for me, it was, I couldn't wait to find out. I remember sitting next to Dan Durst, and he's, you know, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to talk with him, but he's a pretty fiery personality, and he just told me, hey, you're just as good as any of these guys, and you got to believe in yourself, and you got to go out there and just, you know, play your butt off and try to steal as many bases as you can. I remember night one, I got a base hit, my first at bat, and he's looking at me like, you better run. I stole second, I stole third, and I just kind of carried that momentum throughout the weekend, and fortunately was able to connect on that ball, and I traveled home, and my life had changed, man. I went from being a kid from the Midwest, kind of recruited mostly by Big Ten schools, to being on draft boards and hearing from just about every school around the country.
Yeah, it's just something to consider because, you know, you're growing up here, you're going to New Trier. Most guys from the northern suburbs, and I grew up in Highland Park, I say this, you know, and not at a haze than anyone, but, like, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit more of a privileged lifestyle there, and maybe there's not as much drive or whatever. You just don't see it as much, and there's the exposure part. So I'm just curious, like, where was your drive coming from? Like, hey, you know, I don't have to, like, fight to put food on the table, but I really, really, really want this. I want to be a professional baseball player.
Yeah, I mean, I love the game. I mean, and I feel like I had so many coaches and my parents kind of pour into me from a young age and you know, let me chase this dream. That I owe it to them, and I owe it to guys like Dan Durst to get out here and you know, like I said, play my butt off. And I think for me, it comes from within. I mean, I want to be out here and I want to showcase what I can do. And I just want to continue to play the game for as long as I can and play it hard.
How many family members did you have out at Guaranteed Rate Field on Wednesday?
I had quite a few. Well, I had my parents and my younger brother and my younger sister were out there, but news must have traveled fast because as I took the field, I kept hearing my name left and right, whether it was out in the bleachers or down the line. I had my high school coach was out there, and he was wearing my Arizona Fall League jersey that I gifted him a few years back at Cardinals number 22, which was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, it was an incredible moment. I mean, just going out the stretch, I remember running out to center field and you kind of turn around and you look at the park. And for me, I just kind of flashed back to so many moments as a kid. And, you know, I have butterflies now thinking about it, but I was just kind of overwhelmed. Pretty incredible moment, man. I feel so thankful.
Yeah. I mean, I might start crying right now, Charlie, cause you know, I mean, I'm not even kidding like that. I love what I do and all that stuff, but like, there's nothing that you know, I would to have that to root for your hometown team and be able to run out there. Like, you're in 0.1% of guys that get to do it. I mean, it's really unbelievable. So congrats on being in that exclusive country club. One baseball question before you go. You know, everyone's talking about launch angles and home runs, and that's the game nowadays. And that's not you. So is it hard for you just like, hey, this is what I do. This is what I'm going to do. I know I can help a club being super fast, playing a good outfield, getting on base. I mean, do you have to, like, guard against trying to do something that's, like, not really your makeup?
Yeah, you know, I remember the day I got traded over here, you know, talking with people, and they were very adamant in telling me that they wanted me to stick to my game and that my job is to get on base and that they've been watching me throughout my career and that, you know, I really don't need to do anything differently. So I don't get too caught up in that. I mean, my biggest focus is just barrel the ball. I want to hit the ball hard and, you know, whether I can get a shortstop to go to his backhand or whether I can hit a line drive in the gap, it's going to be me getting on base that matters because, you know, I believe that once I'm at first, I can get to second and go from there. So, you know, one thing I'd like to do is continue to try to work more walks and find ways to get on that way. But for me, it's more about just barrel the ball every now and then. You know, I think I'll catch one out front and put one out, but that's not necessarily my focus going into the day.
Great stuff, Charlie. Appreciate it. You can follow Charlie on Instagram, Tilson4, on Twitter, at Tilson4, same stuff. And did you make the shoot the puck? I was going through your Instagram. I want to know.
I did not make the shoot the puck. I couldn't believe it. This offseason, I saw Nicky Delmonico hit the shot and had the celebration. It was like, dude, you showed me up big time, man. Got to give it to him. The guy, he's got a knack for taking advantage of the moment. I mean, he's a rock star, so. Nicky D got it done.
Well, I'm sure with your connections, you can get another shot at that. But the Blackhawks are on WGN Radio, too. So if you need me to make a call to John McDonough or whoever, at least one more shot at it, right?
I need at least one more shot, no doubt. I was close. I was close for sure. So maybe one more chance.
You didn't play hockey growing up, did you?
I did not play hockey.
Okay, that would have made it worse. So as long as, you know, that's... That would have been a choke job then, or at least, well, that's a little harsh, but all right.
Yeah.
Charlie, thanks for the time. Really appreciate you being on White Sox Weekly, and looking forward to watching you, wishing you a ton of success.
For sure. Thanks for having me.